Let us turn in the Holy Scriptures to Matthew chapter 6. We will read verses 1 through 15 of Matthew chapter 6. Let us hear God's word. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here we end the reading of the Holy Scriptures. On the basis of this passage and the entire Bible, we turn to Lord's Day 46 and take heed to its instruction this morning. Lord's Day 46. Question 120 asks, why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? That immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely, that God is become our Father in Christ, and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Why is it here added, which art in heaven? Lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are entering into a grand subject, the grand conclusion of the Catechism's explanation of the fundamental doctrines of the Word of God. We are entering into the chief part of thankfulness. Christian prayer. The beating heart of the Christian's spiritual life, his drawing near and walking with and communing with God. And so it is with eagerness that we come to this last section of the Catechism to receive instruction in Christian prayer, just as we were eager to hear the instruction of God's law. We hear these things time and time again, but we need that repetition. It's repetition that is not repetitious. It is rather repetition that is refreshing. because we are so prone to forget, so prone to wander, so prone to stray. And so we see here one of the great blessings of Heidelberg Catechism preaching is that it sets before us time and time again the great truths of God's Word so that we are refreshed, so that we are corrected, so that we are instructed, so that we grow in our Christian lives. So it is with this chief part of thankfulness. We're eager to hear again how to pray and to grow in our prayer life and in our walk with God. Our catechism is a wonderful instructor in prayer. Indeed, it is one of the best instructors in prayer because it follows the instructor and follows the method of the instructor. The instructor is Jesus Christ, who teaches us how to pray, and his method of instruction is the simple model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And so that is what we begin this morning, going through the different parts of the Lord's Prayer and unpacking what this simple prayer of our Lord teaches us about the Christian's life of prayer, what it teaches us about the content of prayer, and especially what it teaches us about our own hearts. When we pray, the mindset we are to have, the spiritual attitude we are to have, the manner in which we are to draw near to God, talk to God, walk with God, and commune with God. And so the Catechism very appropriately begins where Jesus begins his teaching about prayer. Begins with the address. Prayer is speech to God, and therefore prayer must address God. How we begin our prayers is something as important as all of the petitions and content that follows the beginning of our prayers. How we address God is of the utmost importance. How we think about God, the way we view God when we come to Him in prayer. Jesus speaks to all of these questions in the address, the opening words, Our Father. And there is a world of meaning and significance in that address that begins the model prayer. This is how we are to pray to God, Our Father, which art in heaven. That's how we are to see God. That's how we are to pray. And that makes a world of difference. We come to God to pray to Him as Father, and we come to Him as His children. So let's enter into these beautiful, these deep words, the opening address of the Lord's Prayer, and let us consider them under the theme, Addressing Jehovah in Prayer, developing that theme under 2 points. First, praying to our Father, and secondly, praying as His children. Matthew 6, verse 9 is Jesus' opening word of instruction as to how the Christian is to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven. Those words have become so commonplace among us in a way that's a beautiful thing. We have taken in this instruction of the Lord Jesus. So often we begin our prayers that way. Our Father. Those words commonly come from our hearts and come out of our mouths. And that's a beautiful thing. And yet there's a danger here that we overlook the beauty and the significance of what these words mean. We must not overlook how amazing this address of the Lord's Prayer is. Jesus tells us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. Let us notice two amazing things about this opening address. In the first place, in this address, Jesus tells us, talk to God. Pray to God Himself, directly to the triune God, the creator of heaven and earth, the infinitely majestic God. Don't go to some intermediary. Don't go to someone who is between you and God. Speak to God directly. And that's an amazing thing. The child of God is able to go to God in prayer at any time and speak directly to the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. By prayer, the child of God is able to draw near to God and make personal contact with God, converse with God, commune with God. That's amazing. That's a miracle. Lowly creatures of the dust, such as you and me, we can pray to God? Jesus teaches us, yes, pray. But now, dare we say, there's something even more amazing. As amazing as it is that we can pray to God, Jesus teaches us in the opening address of the prayer, this is how you are to address God. This is how you come to Him in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. As you pray, as you speak to God, this is the deep awareness you are to have. This God to whom I pray is my Father. And as I approach Him in prayer, I am conscious of that reality. I think of God as Father. And that is amazing. That is amazing. Think about all the names of God in the Bible. How many glorious, wonderful, beautiful names Jesus could have chosen to include here in the Lord's Prayer. He could have said this to His disciples, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Jehovah God, which art in heaven, Lord Almighty, which art in heaven, Lord of hosts, which art in heaven, Holy One, which art in heaven. But that's not what Jesus says. Even though all of those names reveal great things about God, all of those names give us comfort. Jehovah speaks about how God is the God of the covenant, the God of unchanging covenant faithfulness. Lord Almighty speaks about the power of God. Lord of hosts speaks about how God is also a mighty warrior God who fights on behalf of His people. But what name does Jesus choose? Father. Father. His point is not that that's the only name we may ever use in prayer. Scripture furnishes us with so many names of God, and we are to use them in prayer. But Jesus' point is, when you go to God in prayer, above all, this is how you are to think about Him. This is how you are to conceive of His relationship to you and your relationship to Him. You pray to Him as your Father, your Father. And that makes all the difference in the world. Let's think about how that makes such a difference. Jesus refers to the prayers of the heathen in Matthew 6. They do not pray to their gods as Father. For one thing, they pray to gods who are idols. They do not exist. They have no relationship with those gods. But also they do not think about those gods as their Father. And thus, they pray with much speaking. They pray with vain repetitions. They pray with antics and wild speaking and wild behavior. Think of the Baal prophets on Mount Carmel. Because they have no confidence that they will be heard. They have no confidence that their gods will be favorable. They have to do whatever they can to try to get their gods' attention. But that's not Christian prayer. Christian prayer is prayer to Father. The child of God goes to God knowing that this God is my Father who loves me and cares for me and therefore will surely answer me. If we only knew Jehovah as the Almighty God, we would not have that comfort. God may be almighty. He might be able to do anything, but what guarantee do I have that He is for me, that He is favorable towards me, that He cares about little, insignificant, weak, sinful me? Jesus puts to rest all of these questions in the opening words of the Lord's Prayer when He teaches us, this is how you go to God. Our Father, which art in heaven. That's how you think about God. When you pray to Him. That puts to rest those questions, those fears. That is how we pray to God with confidence. And so what this brings us to see then is the foundation for Christian prayer. The Catechism speaks about that foundation of Christian prayer in answer 120. We're taught to pray our Father. Why? That immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, He might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer. And then the Catechism goes on to explain really what that foundation is. Namely, the foundation of our prayer is namely this, that God is become our Father in Christ. This is what makes true prayer possible. Prayer is rooted in relationship. It is speech within the boundaries of covenant love. Prayer arises out of our relationship with God, the reality that we are in covenant with God. Prayer is not like petitioning some distant authority with the hope that that person, that authority figure, will give you what you ask. Perhaps you're petitioning the government. You send a petition or you send a request, some formal documents to some government agency, and you know that these authority figures, they have the power and ability to give you what you ask, but they have no personal connection to you. They really have no interest in you. You're a nobody to them. You're just a name. You're just a number. There's no relationship there. And therefore, you have no real confidence. You're always in tension, wondering, what's going to be the outcome of my request? You might think you have a good case. That's not prayer. Prayer is rooted in relationship with God. He's Father. I'm His child. And whenever I pray, I'm praying to Him as my Father. So here, as we explore the foundation a little more, I want to focus on two things. First, the objective basis for our prayer. And that is the reality of our salvation. We are able to pray because we are saved in Jesus Christ. The man who does not have faith, the man who is outside of Christ, the man who has not been redeemed with the blood of Christ, he cannot pray because he does not have a relationship with God. But the child of God who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ, he can pray out of this relationship that God has established. The Catechism says, God is become my Father in Christ. When God created Adam and Eve in the beginning, Adam and Eve were God's children by creation. But when our first parents fell into sin, that relationship changed. Fallen man became corrupt and he became the child of the devil. So that we by nature are not the children of God, but as the scriptures say, the children of wrath, the children of disobedience. The great foundation of our prayer is the saving work that God has performed through Jesus Christ. Grace has made us His children again. Grace which sought us out. Grace which brought us into God's fellowship. Grace which sent the only begotten Son of God to die for our sins, to pay the price of our sins, to atone for those sins. By the work of Christ, we who were alienated from God's covenant are brought nigh and brought into the spiritual family of God. We're adopted. Those adoption papers are signed in the blood of Christ. Redeemed, purchased. We who were wayward sheep are brought back into the sheepfold of Christ. That's the ground of prayer. But now, the subjective foundation of our prayer is that we know this truth. We know it personally. God sent His only begotten Son to redeem His people, to purchase them with His own blood. And Christ has accomplished that salvation. He has accomplished the adoption of all of God's chosen people. But now, when we approach God, we have to know that to be true. And we know it to be true from God's Word, the Gospel, which declares to us the good news, the glad tidings of salvation in Christ. The Gospel declares to us what God has done for us in Christ. The Gospel declares for us, God is become your Father for Jesus' sake. And that Gospel then excites in our hearts childlike love, reverence, and confidence in God. That Gospel makes us to know with that true, deep, experiential knowledge of faith. God is not just a Father, but He's my Father. And He's our Father, the Father of this spiritual family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know Him. I know Him. What do you think of when you think of a father? What's the outstanding characteristic of a father? You think of many things, but perhaps the central characteristic of a father is a father's strong, protective, nurturing, unconditional love that cares for his family and his children and provides for his family and for his children. That's the kind of love that we earthly fathers are called to have for our families and our children. Weak and sinful fathers that we are, we do not always perfectly express this love. And yet, by the grace of God, we can and we do show this kind of love to our families and our children. But God is a perfect Father. He is the Holy Father, who unconditionally and unchangeably loves His children with that protective, nurturing, strong love. And so to tie it all together, when we go to God in prayer, we follow our Lord's teaching, and we begin our prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven." Who is the God that we pray to? He is the God who has that strong, protective, nurturing, unconditional, changeless love for me, demonstrated in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what's before my mind. All of the good news of the gospel, and that foundation is what enables me to pray. And to pray confidently and reverently. What a beautiful beginning to the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord teaches us to pray, "Our Father." But now, having seen that, the foundation of our prayer, our relationship with God, let us now turn to some more practical instruction then as to how we are to address and pray to our Father. We are to pray to Him as His children. If we are to view God as Father and address Him as Father, that means we are to view ourselves as His children and pray to Him as His children. If God's fatherhood controls the content and manner of our prayer, so too our childhood ought to have an influence on the content and the manner of our prayer. Answer 120 again emphasizes that when it speaks about how the opening words of the prayer are meant right at the get-go to excite in us that childlike confidence and reverence in God. So let's first look more generally at this idea of childlikeness. Christian prayer is childlike prayer, because all prayer is prayer to a Father, the Father, God our Father. And all prayer is prayer from child, the child of God. By teaching us to pray our Father, Jesus teaches us that our prayers ought to be childlike. So what is childlikeness? Childlikeness is a spiritual quality that Jesus often spoke of and spoke very highly of. Jesus spoke about His people as those who are childlike in faith, and He calls His people to be childlike in their life before God. For example, let's look at Matthew 18, verses 2 through 4, one passage where Jesus speaks highly of childlikeness as a spiritual quality of His people. Matthew 18, verses 2 through 4. "And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. One of the things that Jesus emphasizes here is that one of the distinguishing marks of the true Christian, the true believer, is that he's like a little child. He has spiritual childlikeness. Now, childlikeness is different from childishness. When we use the word childish, we refer to some behavior that is foolish, that is immature, that lacks understanding. Often that word childish refers to the sinful nature of a child as it manifests itself in foolish behavior. That's not the idea here. When Jesus speaks highly of childlikeness, he's talking about the genuine simplicity of a child. How a child is so very trusting, ready to depend upon his or her parents. A child, especially a little child, doesn't doubt or question his parents. The child believes what dad and mom tell him. The child has an interest in learning, is eager to grow in knowledge, and yet that eagerness to learn is coupled with ready acceptance of what he is taught and willingness to believe with wide-eyed wonder the things that he is taught. Child is one who wears his heart on his sleeve. What's in the heart comes out. Doesn't put on a face. Genuine, simple, trusting, dependent. That's childlikeness. And now to apply it to prayer. What Jesus is teaching us here when he calls us to address God as our Father is he is teaching us to speak to God as a child. To have that childlike spirit in all of our prayers. A trusting, dependent spirit. Eager to grow in our knowledge of God, eager to believe, eager to receive the answers that he gives to our prayers. Childlikeness. It's really a striking thing that Jesus sets before us here. The Christian, as he matures in his walk with God, as he matures in the spiritual family of God, he really becomes more childlike. It's the exact opposite of our maturing here in our earthly families here below. Those of us who are parents, who are raising children, we know as our children grow older, as they mature, they become more and more independent. They start doing more things on their own. They start driving. They go to work. They take on more responsibilities. They begin establishing more of an identity that is separate from the family. And eventually, the Lord willing, they leave our home and start a home of their own. But spiritual maturity is just the opposite. As the child of God matures, he becomes more and more childlike towards his Father. He doesn't grow independent from his Father, but he grows in his understanding of his dependence upon Father. And so he trusts his Father all the more. Rather than seeking to go his own way and to establish his own identity apart from the house of his Father, the maturing child of God clings to his Father and doesn't want to be anywhere but in his Father's presence. In his Father's house. The more we mature spiritually, the more childlike we become. And that's true of our prayers. To go to God with that childlike simplicity. That leads us then to three things I want to point out about childlike prayer. What does childlike prayer look like? How is childlikeness manifested in our prayers? First, childlike love. Second, childlike confidence. And third, childlike reverence. When we pray to God and we go to Him as His children, our prayers are to arise out of a childlike love for our Father. You think about how children adore their fathers, how they think their father is the best in the world. He seems as though he can do anything. They trust him. They adore him. We ought to have that same adoration and awe for our Heavenly Father, so that when we go to him in prayer, our hearts throb with that childlike love. That's the motive for prayer. Deep motive for Christian prayer is that love for God. When you love someone, you draw close to them. You want to spend time with them, have fellowship with them. The child of God who loves his Father wants to draw close to his Father, wants to spend time with his Father. And so the child of God prays, and the child of God prays often. Think of little children again. Parents of little children probably experience this. The child often has so much to say, always talking to you. Perhaps even while your little child is playing, your child is narrating everything that's going on as they're using their imagination and playing there in the room beside you. They're always talking to you, always in conversation with you. That's how we should be towards our Father God. As we walk through life, always talking, always telling him about what's on our hearts and minds, even if those things seem small and insignificant. We're his children. He's our Father. And he loves and delights to hear our prayers. And so pray, Jesus teaches us, out of childlike love for your Father. But now secondly, childlike prayer is manifest in childlike confidence. Childlike confidence. Children trust their parents. They do not doubt that their parents will provide for them. They look to dad and mom to provide the food, the clothing, the shelter, the things that they need. Little children don't even give a thought as to how dad and mom are going to provide those things. They just know and trust that parents will provide. They confidently rest in dad and mom. Spiritual childlikeness has that same attitude towards God. It doesn't mean that we're irresponsible. It doesn't mean that we don't labor. It doesn't mean that we don't take diligent forethought and plan and all the rest. That's not the point. But as God's children, we unquestioningly and undoubtingly are to rest in Father. He will provide. He knows what I need. And even if I don't understand how he is going to give me the things I need, even if I don't understand how he is going to lead me in the days ahead, I don't question him. I don't doubt his goodwill towards me or doubt his ability to care for me. I trust childlike confidence. That's how we go to God in prayer. Now that's hard. That's hard. Because we children of God still have that old sinful nature which is prone to distrust and to want to take things into our own hands. By the Spirit of Christ, can we do pray to God with this childlike confidence? Of course, this doesn't mean that God is going to give us everything that we ask for all the time. Every wise father has to deny his children's things at certain times. Children often ask for things that are not good for them, or things that will be detrimental for them in some way. And so a parent has to make a decision for the good of that child, oftentimes to say no. The same way God deals with us. We're so short-sighted. We often don't know what's good for us. Oftentimes we ask things not knowing God's hidden will. So sometimes he says no. And our calling then is trust. Trust. Because our Father is good. And he's shown his goodness in the gift of Jesus Christ. His plan is best. And his way is always best. And so if we ask something of him, and he says no to us, he doesn't give it to us, It's for the better. And so we ought not to be discouraged, but rather we can be encouraged because He has something even better in store for us than that for which we ask. Prayer. We go to God our Father. We trust Him. We rest in Him. So that's the second way that childlikeness is manifested in our prayers. First, childlike love. Second, childlike confidence. Third, now, childlike reverence. In a family that's healthy, children respect their fathers. They honor them. They have reverence for them. They respect father's authority over them. How much more that ought to be true of the Christian in relationship to his heavenly Father. The second question and answer of the Catechism emphasizes that God is not just some other father. He's not just a man, but he is God in heaven, the infinitely glorious God who is majestic and holy. He is our Father which art in heaven, and that ought to lead us to reverence him all the more. When we approach God in prayer, we are to have that childlike attitude as well. That though I have this close, warm relationship with God, He's my Father, yet I also approach Him in godly fear, with reverence, with respect, because He is God. He is not like a man. He is God. And so all of our prayers ought to be characterized by that reverence. In the language we use to address God, in the things that we ask of God. Jesus in Matthew 6 gives a couple examples of irreverent prayer. On the one hand, there were the prayers of the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites, who showed irreverence to God because they made prayer all about themselves. They prayed on the street corners. They prayed in the synagogues in a showy way in order to appear pious and religious to others. It was all self-serving. And what an irreverent attitude that showed towards God. They didn't approach Him in reverent awe of who He was. They were putting on a show. Self-serving. But also the prayers of the heathen. There's no reverence in that kind of prayer. Trying to cajole their gods into giving them what they want. Trying to manipulate God into giving them what they want. That's not the way the Christian prays either. He prays with that childlike reverence for God, his Father. Matthew 6, verse 6 summarizes it well. Matthew 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You see there that childlike spirit, that trust in God, and also that reverence. Humble, unassuming, quiet humility. The man of God goes to God in prayer, not to get praise or honor for himself, not to try to manipulate God into giving him what he wants, but bowing before the majesty of God in the confidence that this great God, who is also his Father, will hear and answer him. That's reverent, childlike prayer. And so, beloved, to summarize it all, what does the Lord teach us in the address of the Lord's Prayer? He teaches us that all of Christian prayer is rooted in the salvation reality that we are children of God by grace. Through the work of Christ, we have been adopted into the spiritual family of God. And now as children, we have the ability and the right and the privilege to go to God in prayer and speak to Him as our Father. But now the attitude of our hearts in praying to our Father ought to be the attitude of a child. We go to God in prayer with that childlike love, childlike confidence, and childlike reverence. That is the true Christian prayer that is pleasing and acceptable in God's eyes. May the Lord use this opening instruction concerning prayer to nourish us and to instruct us in our life of prayer. Amen. Great God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this beautiful word that our Lord Jesus has given us. We pause for a moment to reflect on all that it means. Thou art our Father, and we are Thy children. And Thou dost give us all things necessary for body and soul, and we can trust and we can depend upon Thee to do so. What a miracle. What an amazing thing that is. What comfort it gives to our souls in all of the troubles of this life and all of the seeming uncertainties, all of the difficulties that we face. We always have Thee, our Father, to whom we can flee, in whom we find refuge, and from whose hand we shall surely receive all that we need. Strengthen us by the word that we have thought upon this morning, that it may quicken us in our prayer lives, that it may draw us closer to Thee, and that we may live as Thy faithful children in the midst of the world. Bless us in the remainder of this Sabbath day. Uphold us in Thy care. We ask these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen.